It's been a challenging summer. God has proven himself every step of the way. I really want to come in and stay about a week and just relax, but I've got that job for the city of Houston, and boy, they would pitch a fit if I didn't get back. And I do want to just shout happy anniversary, Mount Olive. Yeah. I also want to appreciatively applaud you again for taking good care of my brother and his family. I'm just happy to see Barbara here. And I think you know when you're going through something, it's so good to have a friend like Jesus. I'll tell you a quick word about your pastor, since I don't know how much preaching I'm going to do. He has been a great model. I know a lot of great preachers. I've been around some of the biggest and some of the most famous, E.V. Hill, Manuel Scott, Bill Jones. In fact, I'm honored to preach for Manuel Scott and Bill Jones. I tell you what, just today we're hurting for preachers who have more than just the mouth to preach. Hurting for preachers who can give the message with their life. And I know you should be excited on this anniversary because you've got just that type of pastor. Things God has elevated you to have and to do have been because he's been working through the personality of Pastor Greg Jackson. And I think that that's just another way of God telling you that he loves you, and he loves you real good. Give him some more praise. Let me see if I can shift gears here. Joel Osteen loved to tell good jokes. I said, I need a good joke. You heard my other one 2 or 3 times already, so I can't use it no more, I guess. So I said, give me one. He gave me one about this man, 80 years of age, who driving a Corvette. I don't know if you've ever seen how fast a Corvette goes. He was trying to see how fast his Corvette would go, and then the lights started blinking behind him, and the state trooper pulled him over. And the trooper came to him and said, man, this has been a long day. If you can give me a reason why you're driving that fast, and it's not like anything I've ever heard before, I'm going to let you go. And so this senior saint told him, said, really what happened, officer, was a few years ago, my wife ran away with a state trooper, and I thought that was him trying to bring her back to me. And so the officer said, go on, man, go on, go. Yeah. I tell you. I credit Joel Osteen with that one. Yeah, he gave me that. I think it was unique. Usually when you travel and you've been so busy, you look for something from the library of your messages. But Greg gave me this outstanding theme, and so I said, "Man, I like this, and I'm gonna have to work with this." So this is fresh out the oven. I will say that before I get started, I'm wearing this green. It really is a mistake. I'm supposed to be wearing the red. Where are my friends in red? But my brother got on me so bad, he said, look, I ain't going to have you come to my pulpit looking younger than me. Okay. So you got that black beard, I want you to turn it gray. And I want you to wear green. Don't you come down there nothing than green. So I even brought a green Bible. Look at that, man. Amen. That's how much I appreciate his friendship. But I tell you, next time my sisters and all those wearing red, that's my color. That's my color. That's my color. Amen. I want to escort you. I know it's time to get out of here, and some of you ready to go because you've been here a good while already. I tell you how you can help me. If I look like I'm getting too caught up in this and I'm going too long, Just stand up on your feet, start, preach, Reverend, preach. You know, start hollering at me and everything, get all excited, and then I'll get excited. I'll shift to third gear, and then I'll preach so I get so tired I have to sit down. So now you got the master plan. If I'm just, look, Reverend Grant Jackson, he's up too long. Just told you what to do. Do that, and I'll hurry up and sit down. Okay. I want to escort you to this thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher's going to talk about the cross, the church, and the hope. I looked at that theme. He didn't give me any scripture, so I had to go grab some. And I think if you look back to the good old days, no preacher would preach if he didn't go to the cross. And in fact, you were tagged a non-preacher if you didn't go to the cross. I grew up around preachers that, every single Sunday, they went to the cross. And they would holler, he died. Didn't he die? He died. Oh, he died. Didn't he die? I mean, and I said, man, how many times you going to say, didn't he die? I got it the first time. Yeah, he died. But boy, I mean, everybody could cut up when he died. And if you dare get up there and then go to the cross, you didn't. I don't care what else you said. You missed it if you didn't go to the cross. I think it's interesting that you put "the" in front of the cross, because that is a mark of distinction that puts in a unique position. The, not a cross, the cross. And there were many crosses that preceded Jesus Christ. And there were those on the cross while he was on the cross. But when he got on the cross, it became the cross. And because of who he was, something happened to the cross. Now, I had my own little cross. Forgot you had one right here, so I can just use this one. The cross was a mark of the Roman government to lift you up in the heights of humiliation and tag you with degradation. And many of you have watched movies with people on the cross, but they had them covered up. Well, the truth is, if you go on the cross, they strip you naked to heighten the humiliation. Even when we see Jesus on the cross, he got a sheet on. But if you want to go back and be historically accurate, he had no sheet on. Because the Roman government wanted you to know this is what you've got coming. I mean, they had crosses along the major thoroughfare. People hanging on the cross. So while you were coming on in, you could see these are they who messed up with Caesar. These are they. This is what you get when you go against the right authority. And so the cross was always something that the people feared, and it was already there before Jesus came. But as he turned himself over to evil men, you remember that Friday, don't you? That fateful Friday when the lying witnesses had gone home. That fateful Friday when the courts had closed and the judges had left their chambers. On that fateful Friday, between a sinning earth and a sorrowing heaven, he died on that cross. The old preacher said they lifted him high, they stretched him wide, and they dropped him low. And then they would paint the picture of how it was that the earth began to rock and roll like a drunk man. Sun hid itself behind the covers of darkness. Yes, and while he died on that cross, blood came streaming down. You know he had those crown of thorns on his head. And And then when they wanted to test his status, they put a spear in his side. And water and blood came streaming down. That was all on the cross. And Jesus died on that cross. What was he doing on that cross? Let me take you to the answer that comes from Holy Writ. Take a look at Isaiah 53. And look at verses 3 through 6. I got my modern translation. All right, where did you go? Hiding from me. See, I wasn't supposed to have this green Bible. Trying to be all in harmony and in color. And this particular version is called the Everyday Bible. I had marked it.
Let me give you a black Bible.
That's black, you, man. There you go. I am black, you know. Isaiah 53, when you found it, say, I got it. Okay, go ahead and read out loud verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. I'm serious. Go ahead and start reading. That's good. That's good. That's good. Nothing like reading for yourself. Amen. You get a better feel when your eyes are on the word anyway. But I got to tell you, did you feel that while you were reading it? Because you have to understand what he did for you on that cross. He wasn't just on that cross because somebody didn't like him. He wasn't just on that cross because somebody had a thing to try to put him down. We know the religious leaders of that time wanted him out the way. He was stealing their thunder. He was messing with their money. Y'all do know people get funny when you mess with their money, huh? And so, but that wasn't all. It was about more than that. He could have shut them down before they turned around. But he went on to the cross. They cried, why don't you come down? You save others? Why don't you save yourself? They mocked him. You're the king of the Jews. What you going to do now, Mr. King? And while they were gambling over his clothes and mocking him, he would not come down. And you know what he said. He said something that should mark our minds forever. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You ever been around somebody and know what he was doing? You ever not know what you were doing yourself? And when you're operating in ignorance, you mess up a whole lot of stuff. And so they didn't know. He said, Daddy, don't mess with them. I know you want to wipe them out, but they don't know what they're doing. What should it mean to us when we look at what he did? How should it transform our lives when we look at what he did? I don't think that we could ever be all that we were designed to be if we don't keep looking at what he did. And maybe that's why the old church was right on target. Don't you come and worship him and forget his death, burial, and resurrection. Don't you dare come and let a day go by where you don't at least take a look at the cross. Don't look at it just as jewelry, but look at it as salvation. The Apostle Paul gives a good response. Chapter 6 of Galatians, just write it down if you don't have it. He said in verse 14, as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in all the attractive things of the world was killed long ago. And the world's interest in me is also long dead. I think that's a scripture to put a circle around. You ask, what should happen when you get through hanging around the cross? It should change you to the point that the world don't mean what it used to mean to you. And you don't mean what you used to mean to the world. And you don't brag about your degree, and you don't brag about your financial possessions or your material possessions. You want to boast about something, you boast about what happened when you got hooked up with the cross. And maybe that's why Fanny Crosby, no relation by the way, wrote, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Their precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary Mountain. And maybe that's why Isaac Watt wrote the great hymn, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Come on, you remember at the cross? Don't you feel like saying it at the cross? At the cross, where I first saw the light. And come on, this is the part that everybody ought to bring somebody to church to find out. And the burdens of my heart, some of you still got some burdens. Some of you sitting there now with some burdens. But if you just understand what this cross is all about, they will not walk away, they will roll away. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by what? I received what? And now, not tomorrow, now, not next year, now, not in a moment, now, I'm happy all the day. Now, I like to play with words. When you say all, I wonder what you're talking about. Do you really mean all? You mean nothing left out? Do you mean every part of? Do you mean nothing missing? All. So that means 24/7, I got my joy. You didn't give it to me, so you can't take it from me. 24/7, in good days and bad days, rainy days and sunshining days, don't matter what's going on, you can't hey, get back, MC Hammer. You can't touch this. You can't mess with me. Devil, do your best thing. Come on, bring on all your dumb imps. Come on, do what you want to do, because you're not going to take my joy. It's the strength of my salvation. I've already figured out. All I do, look, I just go get near the cross, and the burdens of my heart don't roll away. And I get my joy back whenever I get ready. I'm sick, but I still got my joy. Got some bills, but I still got my joy. Been lied on, but still got my joy. People don't treat me right sometimes, but I still got my joy. I'm happy all the day long. I think that what hurts us sometimes, we forgot about the power of the cross. Somebody said, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. And you know, when you think about the fact that you ain't got to pay something, you ought to get happy. Help me somebody. You got a bunch of bills to pay? Well, here's something you ain't got to pay for. Get excited. It's no cost. No charge. Jesus paid it all. There that word is again. He paid it all. And I owe to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it. I don't care how good you think you are cleaning your clothes. You can't wash like Jesus. He washed it white as snow. Now the cross should hang with us not just as some jewelry. Don't leave the cross just on the steeple at the top of the church. And don't just leave the cross out there as something that you are. You know, I'm glad to have it on my ring, but I keep it on this finger because I want to remember that he died for my sins. Because every now and then I mess up. Anybody like me in here? I ain't by myself. I'm so glad I ain't by myself. Somebody holding their head down. You don't know that if it had not been. Oh, Lord, for the Lord on our side. Every now and then I just break out. Ain't no church around. I just saying, I know it was the blood. No, I ain't going to sing y'all. I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost. Somebody know that song? How the rest of it go? One day when I was lost, what happened? He died up on the... And I know it was what? Somebody been singing that hymn, boy, I tell you. And it's so important not to just leave that for Sunday morning. That's all I'm trying to say. You don't leave it here at the church. Take it with you to work. Take it with you to the hospital. You know, take it to where they're trying to get you fired. You know, take it when your car breaks down right there in the middle of all that traffic. You know, whenever you're going through something, just go run back to the cross. And remember how the blood has fixed some things for you that you don't even know how to fix. The cross is more than a symbol. It is the tool God used to open the doors of hell to set his souls free. It is the backbreaker used to shut down the works of hell and the life-snatching efforts of Satan. It is the guiding light for the lost to find their way back to the loving arms of the Father. The cross should never be limited to just something you hang on the wall or put somewhere in a religious arena. I believe that many of the church's failures is rooted in the fact we get caught up in making the fellowship our place where we do our thing. And we forget that we have a purpose that comes from the one who died on Calvary. And if the church is able to fulfill its mission as given by the Master, we must keep on thinking about the cross. Let me tell you this from the heart. There are a lot of people, good people in church. And I believe this is a great church with a lot of good people. I'm just so honored to be here with you today. But let me tell you something. It's not enough to be good. There are a lot of good people on the way to hell. I wish you could feel what I'm trying to say. It's not enough to be good. You have to be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some of that old stuff you can't get rid of will pass away. You say, I'm just what I am. I am what I am. You're still lying and cussing. Well, that's some of that. God can get rid of some of that stuff. And you have to be in Christ. And the church's purpose is to draw us nearer. Nearer to the cross. Nearer to the Lord. That's what it's really all about. It's not about just a talent show. God bless every talent he put in the church. But it's bigger than just having a talent show. It's about drawing us nearer. And the devil's job is to bring us further away from. And he uses all of the glitter and glamour of the world to pull us away from God. And when you come back to the house of the Lord, you can cry like David. I was so glad when they said unto me. Because you come here and God says, all right, I'm going to regulate your mind. I'm going to fix your heart. I'm going to set your feet back on solid ground. And then whatever joy you lost, I'm going to restore it. And I'm going to give you a vision of victory because you're still on the battlefield and you think it might not be one you can win. But when you get through hanging out with me on Sunday, I'm going to tell you, you got a guaranteed victory. And so it is, the church must come to this understanding of how significant the cross is. I think the cross is the only thing that can keep us on track with who we are and whose we are and what it is we've been called to do. We will never really fulfill our purpose to be the light of the world and the salt that prevents decay. Matthew 5, you know the story, verses 13 through 16. Jesus himself said, I may be the light, but I now have made you the light. You're the light. Look at your neighbor and say, come on, light up for me. Come on, light up for me. Come on, come on, light up for me. Come on, light up for me. Come on, come on, come on. Some people still kind of dark. Light up for me. Light up for me. Because you see, if you can't light up in here, you sure ain't going to light up out there. And how many of you know it's real dark out there, and the world needs some light out there? And when we start getting around the cross, God lets the light shine. I used to like to hear that old song, shine on me. Oh, boy, I wish I had old Deacon to sing that for me right now. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. And when you take the light that God gives you inside his house back outside, where there's still a bunch of foolish stuff going on, where crime is crazier than ever before, where you have a James Holmes going up shooting at folks trying to watch a little Batman movie, you know, you got to have some light. It's dark out there. Somebody shout, it's dark out there. And the church is not worth anything if it's just having a party to itself by itself on the inside. Nothing wrong with encouraging our children. Amen. Nothing wrong with us being on program. It's God. God bless you. You can come on program, do this, do that, do this, and do that. But when the benediction comes, if that's it, you haven't been hanging around the cross. I'm talking about the church right now. The church has to be impacted by the cross. And not just any cross, but the cross. And when the cross impacts the church, then the church is not an ordinary institution anymore. It is the salvation. The salvation that God brought to you can now spread abroad. That's why he said, greater work shall you do. Yes, I went around and I healed some folks and I raised some folks. Yes, I went around and I did some great things. But I look, I'm going back to be at the right hand of my Father. And I got this church, you know, upon this rock. I shall build my church. Look at your neighbor and say, it's his church. Well, let me slow right down. I heard the Holy Ghost say something. Look at your neighbor in the eye and say, it is his church. Because some folks think it's their church. Some people think it's their church, I've been sitting in that seat so long. This is my seat, and this is my church, and this is my pastor, and this is my business, and it got to go like I wanted to go. Somebody, you didn't die for the...
No.
I didn't see you hanging on no cross. Where's the blood? Where the hole went in your hand at? Show me where the went in your foot. Hold on now. I'm not picking on y'all, but I passed the church 154 years of age this year. And there are some people who really believe they own the church. The truth of the matter is, we've got to understand that when we stay focused on the cross, it keeps us determined and dedicated. It keeps us on track. And while we enjoy the fellowship, it ain't just for us. Because Jesus died to expand the kingdom of God. Somebody who don't know Jesus ought to get to know Jesus, not because they see him on the cross, because they see him in you. And when you tell your testimony, well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was sick, but the Lord lifted me up. I went through hell and hot water, but the Lord brought me through. Can't nobody do you like Jesus? Can't nobody do you like the Lord? When you become more than a pew warmer and a visitor of what's happening at the building, when you become that person who says, I got it, now I'm going to give it. When you become that person that says, the Lord loved me, so I'm going to love you. When you become that person that says, the Lord has forgiven me, now I got to forgive you with your bad self. When you can literally go outside the door and let what happened on the inside spread abroad, they don't need brick and mortar to have a good time in Jesus. They can have church at the hospital because you came by. Have church on the job. You don't even have to have a green or a black Bible. Just you show up. You show up. You show up. You're the walking word in action. And when you open your mouth, here comes the scripture. No, he ain't carrying no Bible. He ain't even got a cross on his shoulder. He just talked like Jesus. The church has to experience the cross. And then when we come together, we build each other up on every leaning side. And we become life builders. So I went to church and got built up. Now I'm going to see who else I can build up. See somebody on the corner, how can I build you up? See somebody on the way to jail, I'm going to build you up. Ain't nobody going to come by and visit you but me, but that's all right, I'm going to build you up. So this time when you get out of jail, you ain't coming back. You're going to be a new creature in Christ. You ain't coming. They say they always come. You ain't coming back. The church is the light and the salt, but only after you get near the cross. Well, I got to close now. But I got to tell you that there'll be no church that's able to bring the hope unless we have swallowed up Jesus for ourselves. See, Jesus, he's not going to physically get in your face. But he wants to express himself through you and I. I don't know what salt and pepper was talking about, but Jesus wanted to express himself. He wanted to express himself. But he wanted to do it through you and I. And so he's not looking for some show-off popularity contest people. He's not looking for some folks who can step on it just to make the crowd clap their hands. He's looking for somebody who can, when the benediction is over, somebody going to meet Jesus. It don't have to be Sunday. It could be on Blue Monday. And that's what escorts hope into a hopeless world. Now, I've heard Jesse Jackson talk about keep hope alive. And I've even heard our president talk about the audacity of hope. That sounds good, don't it? The audacity, the boldness of hope. Hope get all in your face, okay? Yeah, all right. You got a hopeless situation, but there you are with hope. You know, everything falling apart, they're trying to foreclose on your house, but you still got hope. And there you are, man. The doctor talking about he don't know what to do. He's scratching his head, but you still got hope. And there you are, and everybody ganging up on you, and they all think you did something you didn't do. You've been in prison for 15 years. You didn't rape nobody. You didn't do anything wrong. In fact, you weren't even at that location, but you still got hope. Here you are, you're in your third marriage and look like you can't ever get it right, but you still got hope. Here you are, you just got a brand new car and it's a lemon and it won't run right for nothing, but you still got hope. Here you are with your best friend stabbing you in the back, but you still got hope. And so it doesn't matter, come what may from day to day, you can just keep saying, I got a Heavenly Father watching over me. I still got hope. I still have expectancy that everything going to be all right. I didn't just get happy when the preacher said everything going to be all right. I believe in my heart everything going to be all right. It don't look good, but it's going to be all right. I've got hope. It don't smell good, but it's going to be all right. I got hope. It don't even feel good, but that's all right. I got hope. It's going to be all right. I'm trying to tell you before I take my seat that there's a connection between the cross, the church, and the hope. Let me take my seat telling you that there is not just hope that we need. We need the hope. Just like we need the cross. And every world needs the church. Because not everybody in the building is a part of the church. Not everybody sitting in the pew is a member of the church. But if you're a member of the church, it will show up with the fact that you got the hope in your heart. And that's why I want to take you to one more scripture, Colossians 1, verse 27. Look at Colossians 1, 27. As I make my gun lap, look at that verse with me. And this is the secret that Christ in your hearts. I like that part. Christ where? Say it out loud. Christ where? Not on your head, not on your back, but in your heart is your only hope of glory. That's good right there. Somebody say, I don't feel like I'm full of hope. And you're really saying you're not full of Jesus. He is the hope of glory. When you know who he is, but it's not enough to have the knowledge. See, a lot of people know stuff, but it doesn't do them any good. Help me, somebody. You know, One of my favorite movies is called The Matrix. One of the classic lines in the movie is where Fishburne tells Neon, it's not enough to know the way. You got to go the way. And I love that line because it struck me, it hit me. And see, we all went to school, we learned some stuff. We know some stuff. But if you ain't going to do the stuff you know, touch your neighbor and say, you got to do what you know. If you're not going to do what you know, then what you know ain't doing you no good. And I'm trying to tell you before I take my seat that a lot of people know the Bible and they know religious routine and they know how to show up and get their seat on time and they know how to sing and move at the right time and know how to follow the leadership of the pastor. They know how to sing the right notes. They know how to do what they're supposed to do because it's Sunday, but they don't know what to do when it's Monday. And the world needs a church that has a lifestyle. The world needs a church that's going to bring hope to their desperate, dying situation. I don't have to tell you how bad it is out there. I don't have to tell you how ugly it is out there. I don't have to tell you how desperate it is out there. We're living in dying days. And somebody needs to hear about a living Savior. Somebody needs to know that can't nobody do you like Jesus. He will lift up your bowed down head, wipe away your unwanted tears, give you some joy, let you run and not get weary, walk and not faint. He will bless your soul, which means your mind gets regulated and your will gets changed and your emotions get on balance, because nothing worse than somebody whose emotions are out of whack and their mind is messed up and they don't know what to do because they don't know what to want with themselves. And so when God comes in, he not only saves your soul, but he lifts your soul and he gives you what it takes to walk through life with power to do what you got to do and have what you need to have. And I come out to tell you before I take my seat that if you let the Lord take you near the cross, he'll show you what he did so you can do something. He'll show you what he sacrificed so you can be something. And when you come to church, you don't need nobody to sing your song. You don't need nobody to hit the right note. You don't need nobody to sit where you want them to sit. You'll already have your joy. You already have your peace. You already have your vision. Can't nobody stop you from doing what the Lord called you to do. I tell you who I am. I'm a Jesus person. I love the Lord who heard my cry. He pitied my groan. He heard my voice. He lifted me. And he set my feet on solid ground. And I tell anybody, everywhere I go, if I'm on the plane, let me tell you about Jesus. If I'm buying some gas, let me tell you about Jesus. If I'm riding in my new car, let me tell you about Jesus. Everywhere I go, somebody needs to know I got life because of his life. I got joy because of his joy. I got hope because he is my hope. I know what I got to do, and can't nobody help me like my Lord. Yeah! 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 Oh, yeah! I gotta leave you now. I hear the third gear coming at me. But you need to know before you leave the building, nobody loves you like the Lord. He died to save your soul. He shed blood to heal your fragmented body. He wants you to have the ultimate of the best. He wants you to have the good stuff now and the best stuff later. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. All the Lord has stored up for you. You think you've got it going on now? Wait till you get to where God is. But on the way, he said, don't come by yourself. Don't come up here by yourself. You ought to touch somebody, lift somebody, bring somebody, help somebody, change somebody. And that's when the church is the church that presents the hope that the world needs right now. God bless you. I'll sit down.